All right, good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I got to sit in on Greg's class, and I told him it amazed me that what he taught today goes right along with what we're going to talk about, and I call that a God thing. If you can, you need to start attending Sunday school. I know, you know, sometimes that's just inconvenient, but you're missing out on some good teaching. We're going to talk this morning about spiritual blessings in Christ. This is where we started. And we're in Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. And we're going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not gifts, gift of the Holy Spirit. When I was a boy in the early Christian church, I attended there for 6 years. Five. I started in 1969 and I left in 74 and became an idiot until I got saved in 1984. But I was taught about the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the Holy God, the Father whom we worship, the Holy and only begotten Son of God, but I was not taught anything about the Holy Spirit. I don't say this as a put down. I mark it up to ignorance. And that, again, I don't mean to offend anybody. But when I got saved and started reading the Word for myself, the first time I read the book of Acts, and they talked about the Holy Spirit, I felt like the Ephesian believers, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So that's who we're going to talk about today, is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And He's one of the spiritual blessings. He is the spiritual blessing that caps all the others that had been given to us in Christ. He consummates, if I can use that word, all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Do you know that we have spiritual blessings as believers? I'm not talking about name it and claim it stuff. I'm talking about spiritual blessings that God predetermined to give us just as He predetermined the plan of salvation. So I'll quit introducing and we'll get into the text this morning. Paul writes, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." Father, I thank You for Your word, because Your word is truth. You prayed, Lord, that we would be sanctified, set apart for holiness by Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You have sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to teach us Your word. I pray that I might decrease and that You will increase. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Speak the truth to us. Take these truths to our heart in a way that will comfort and encourage us. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week we saw that we who have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ and have repented and turned to God have received spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I've listed four. Paul said we are redeemed from sin and death and our sins have been forgiven. We are adopted as God's children and our fellowship and relationship with God has been restored. We are considered holy and blameless in God's sight. God in Christ has revealed to us the mystery of His will and purpose. In today's portion of the epistle, Paul reveals that all of these blessings were given first to the Jews who believed. He said, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory." He is speaking here of the Jewish believers. They were the first to hope in Christ, and it was to the praise of God's glory. Jesus told the woman of Samaria, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." That is the truth. There is no place in the church today, nor has there ever been any place, for anti-Semitism. They like to say, well, the Jews crucified Jesus. The Jews handed them over to the Gentiles who crucified him. So we were all in on it together. It was a big conspiracy. Yeah. The Jews were the nation to whom God promised that the Messiah, the anointed one, would come from. When he appeared, many of them were offended, but many turned to him and believed that he was the promised Messiah. That's what offended a lot of the Jews. Jesus said, I'm your Messiah. And they said, no, you're not. You didn't come the way we thought you were going to come. You don't agree with what we teach. You've called us whitewashed tombs and hypocrites, and we just don't like you. Greg made a good point this morning. Jesus was God in the flesh. God said, no one can see my face and live. So God dwelt in the Word, in Jesus, the man, so we could actually look into the face of God. When Jesus looked at his men eye to eye, they were looking into God's eyes and into God's face. Praise God. I think most of them didn't realize that till after he ascended, and they went, oh man, look at all the time we wasted. You know, doubting and wondering, and that was God, our God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to us as a man, and we got to eat with him and talk with him and be taught by him. Well, the good news still goes on today, church. You and I have the same thing through the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm going to show this to you in Scripture, so don't freak out and say, well, I should have stayed at home. The Lord promised through his prophets that he would place his Holy Spirit within or into his people. The reason I'm bringing this out, because the Jews believed in the Holy Spirit, they and the prophets of God. God promised them, one day I'm going to place my Spirit in you. Now at that time, at that dispensation, only the prophets received the Spirit to prophesy in the name of the Lord. Greg mentioned that this morning. God spoke to Adam and Eve directly. When sin came in, he couldn't do that anymore. So he spoke to his prophets and said, go tell my people this. So that was an indirect, direct conversation, if I can say it that way, through the Holy Spirit. And one prophet that I picked this morning to share with you bears this out, that God promised the Jews his Spirit. And this is the prophet Ezekiel. And God said, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you. Who's my Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God. He said, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The Apostle Paul said to the church today, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. A lot of people are claiming that they belong to God, and they are void of the Holy Spirit. That means you don't have them. Now, I'm not talking about gifts. Don't freak out. Please bear with me and hear me out. God himself said, I'm going to put my Spirit in my people, then I'll be their God. My Spirit will enable my people to obey me, obey my statutes and rules. You find that also in the prophet Jeremiah. God said, I'll make a new covenant, and I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you know this. I'm preaching to the choir, but that's what we're talking today about, is the blessings, spiritual blessings in Christ. It is said in Christian history that for the first 7 years that the church in Jerusalem preached only to the Jews. They didn't leave Jerusalem. Jesus told them to preach in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to all the world. They stopped at Jerusalem. There was revival breaking out. People were getting saved day by day. And they didn't want to stop that. I understand that. They said, let's not stop, man. Look at the momentum we got going here. People are coming to Christ. And they wouldn't go out. It was after the stoning of Stephen. This is when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they threatened the church. They threatened him with harm, physical harm. Peter and John were later beaten because they kept preaching, and then Stephen was martyred. And when this happened, it said the church dispersed. So for 7 years, they didn't do what the Lord said. But when Stephen was martyred and the pressure was turned up, many of them left Jerusalem, but they still continued to preach Jesus Christ. We know from Scripture that Peter was the first Jewish Christian to preach to the Gentiles. But he only did that after God gave him a vision and said, "Don't you call unclean what I've cleansed, you go." Well, after that happened, the church in Jerusalem, when Peter made his report, they said, "Well, God really has granted repentance to the Gentiles." Duh. That's what the kids today, duh. Yeah. How did Peter and his fellow Jews know that God had accepted these men? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, don't freak out. They heard them speak in other tongues and glorify God. Well, are you talking about Babylon? No. My belief is these were Roman Christians, and they heard them in Hebrew praising God. Tongues are always an intelligible language. French, Russian, Spanish, Portuguese, Japanese. It's not gibberish. And I'm not going to talk about the gifts today, but I'll throw that in. Won't charge you a dime. But it was because these men were filled with the Spirit, Peter said, "Can we forbid water to baptize these guys?" Do you know we're commanded to be baptized when we come to Jesus Christ? Not 10 years later, immediately. Not sprinkled, not poured, immersed. Baptizo. Lord, help me, I'm chasing rabbits. Get me back on track. So they began to preach to the Gentiles. We know Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. The church historian Eusebius records that when the Jewish Christians began to obey God and preach the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit, he said that Gentiles were being saved in myriads. Now, myriads doesn't mean anything to you and I today. John in Revelation talked about myriads. I saw myriads of people before God. In the Hebrew language and in that culture, myriads was a big number. It was uncountable. So Eusebius said myriads, Gentiles were being, we couldn't count them. Do you know that was God's plan and God's will and God's work that all this was accomplished by? Through the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus told these people, "You'll receive power to be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And today, too often, we get this power confused with gifts. And we think, well, we got to exhibit certain gifts to prove that we have the Holy Spirit. No, you don't. You exhibit the love of Jesus Christ. That proves you have the Holy Spirit. Not acting like you love, you actually love. That's the evidence of the filling, the immersion or baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Paul said that God did this. It was his will to do it. He said to the Gentiles, this is what the text we're in today, he said, "In him you also." See, at first he came to the Jews, but now you also. He's doing this, he's building up his case. Because some of the Jewish Christians believe that the Gentile Christians didn't quite have the edge they did because we're Jews. We're God's chosen people. They're Johnny come latelys. Paul said, no. He said, we were the first to believe, and we gave God the glory. And he said, now in him, in who? In Christ, you also. See, Jesus broke that dividing wall down between us and the Jews. And that was hard for some of the Jews to swallow. Because God's not a respecter of persons. But Paul's saying to this Gentile church, you also, when you heard the truth of the gospel, the word of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I told you earlier, Paul said, if you do not have the Spirit, you do not belong to God. That's what Paul meant when he said you are sealed. God puts his mark on you and says, that's my kid. Do you know that you are a child of God? Yes, I've heard so much false humility. Well, I'm not really worthy to be God's child. No, you're not, neither am I, but he calls me his child because of what he did through Jesus Christ. Quit walking around trying to convince the world how unworthy you are. They know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. And it infuriates the devil because God said, here's the heritage of my servants. Their righteousness comes from me. The devil can't argue about that. I mean, he'll tell us, but he can't argue with God. So Paul said to these Gentiles in Ephesus, he said, you also, when you believed, you received the exact same spiritual blessings that we the Jews had first. Praise God. We didn't qualify for it. I've often said, God never looked at me one day and said, well, I think Rick's worth saving. He's kind of cleaning up, you know. He's not as much of a knothead as he used to be. I called out to the Lord and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what did Paul say? I was sealed with the Spirit. Wow. What a God. The Greek word that Paul uses, he said he's the guarantee of our inheritance. Now, I've never had Greek, so please forgive me if I mispronounce this, but it's arabon. This term was used regularly in Greek business world. An arabon is a down payment of an agreed price. We call it an earnest in legal terms today. You buy real estate, you buy a house, you buy something, and you give an earnest payment. It's a down payment. And what you're saying is, I promise I'm going to pay the full price. And Paul said to the church, we have received the Holy Spirit as God's arabon, God's promise, God's down payment to say to you, I'm going to do exactly what I promised to do. Now, what's the full payment? We've been redeemed, Paul said. But Paul also said another place, the time is coming when we'll be 100% fully redeemed, body and spirit. You read about that in Revelation 21 and 22. In other words, when we enter the kingdom of heaven, God said, I'm going to give you a new body. Sin won't be in it. Sin won't be there to tempt you. You won't be tempted. You will be immortal. You will never be sick again. You will never die again. You'll never experience pain again. I'm looking forward to that. How about you? Yeah. Man, I'm looking forward to that. Bring it on. But Paul said now he's given us his Spirit as a down payment for you and I to be guaranteed God's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Praise God. Praise God. Now, some say that the Holy Spirit is God's power. He's like an energy force such as wind or electricity. And some of them mistakenly get it from Jesus' statement, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You go, oh, well, then the Holy Spirit's God's power. And they compare him to like electricity or wind. Okay. The Bible reveals much more to us about the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's not a power. He's not an it. He's a he. He is the Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter rebuked a man named Ananias. If you're familiar with that story, it said many of the believers were selling their possessions, bringing the money and laying it at the apostles' feet, and said, give this to anybody that's in need. That's love. It said they didn't call anything they had their own. They recognized, these Jewish Christians, everything we have belongs to God. So let's take the extra stuff we really don't need, let's sell it, and let's distribute it. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold some property, but they secretly kept part of it back. He kind of jammed it down in his pocket, and he carried what was left, and he laid it down at Peter's feet. Now, what was he implying? We've sold everything. We're giving everything we have to God. You know what Peter said to him? He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? That was the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't have an inside. The Holy Spirit revealed this. This is called prophecy in the Bible, or the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge. He said, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Peter said that through the Spirit. This is the point I want to make. And I know you guys know this, but I like to reiterate on this stuff. In order to lie to the Holy Spirit, he has to be a person. You can't lie to electricity or wind or any kind or form of power. He has to be a person in order for this man to try to deceive him. And Peter not only called him the person of the Holy Spirit, he said, you lied to God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God. This is what Peter said. So think about this. We have the Spirit of Almighty God, the one who created the heavens and the earth within us. Go home and look in the mirror today and say, man, I got the Creator in me. Okay? Now, no, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not going to go there. I'll stay on track. That's for another sermon. The Holy Spirit, God promised, is called by many names in the Scriptures, and that's what I want to share with you today. God said through the prophet Joel, Peter quoted this on the day of Pentecost, as I said, in the Old Testament, only select people got the Holy Spirit. Some kings, David was filled with the Spirit. Saul received the Spirit, but he grieved him away. The prophets had the Holy Spirit. Women very rarely got the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And if you're a fan of that, ladies, take it up with him. Please don't take it up with me. I don't know why. I'm just saying it's the way it was. But the prophet Joel, God said, I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. You're young, you're old, you're men, you're women. I will pour him out on all flesh. And that's the dispensation you and I live in today. All right. I said the Holy Spirit is called by many names. He's called the Spirit of adoption in Romans. Paul said, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's in Romans chapter 8. Now, that goes right along with what Paul said in spiritual blessings, we have been adopted. How did God do that? Through the Holy Spirit. He marked us as his and said, those are my kids. And because we have the Spirit of God within us, we have the privilege to cry out to God and call him Father. Sometimes we take that too lightly. And I'm not trying to be critical. I've been guilty of that. I'll pray and say, Holy Father in heaven. And sometimes I just take that kind of light. God is holy. He is pure. And he's our Father. And he allows wretches like us to call him Father. He did that. We didn't earn it. And the devil, one of his favorite tricks is to try to convince you that you're not God's child. He doesn't like you knowing that. Yeah. But we are God's children. Is that a blessing? Yes, it is. And it's done by the person of the Holy Spirit. I had one Church of Christ friend back in school tell me, well, the Holy Spirit embodies the Bible, the written word of God. He doesn't embody God's people because that died with the apostles. I said, you show me where it says that in the Bible and I'll eat that page. Oh, that's a doctrine of man. God's Spirit inspired this holy book. He indwells God's people. God didn't send him here for a little assignment like, I want you to indwell those pages. He's the one who explains it to us. Is God's word truth? Paul said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, not Paul. And he said when he comes, he will teach you the truth. What does that mean? He'll reveal the written word to you. I talked to a lady yesterday about a pastor we both knew for years, and he started changing. He was a Nazarene preacher and started preaching un-Nazarene doctrine. And he would say, the Lord told me. Well, her husband went to him one day and said, where's this in the Bible, this revelation you're giving us? He goes, you won't find it in the Bible, but the Lord told me. And he said, then that's not the Lord talking to you. Yeah, God does not reveal anything that contradicts his word. He doesn't give us new revelations, as some people call it. Right? The Spirit of God doesn't do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe you'll get out of here quicker. He was called the Spirit of Christ. Peter said, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Very quickly, he's called the Spirit of God, but he's also called the Spirit of Christ. Okay, there's a reason I'm giving you this. Jesus referred to him as the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of God. When he was talking to his people about the persecutions that were coming, he said, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You ever been in a situation when you didn't know what to say and all of a sudden you're able to talk to somebody, especially ministering to people, and you think, where did that come from? Jesus said, that's the Spirit of your Father. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. God will give you exactly what to say. It'll be your Father's Spirit speaking through you. That scares us. I remember a man I talked to years ago. We talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And he equated it with demon possession. He said, I've been scared to death being possessed by the Spirit because I think of demon possession. Oh, I get this spirit in me, you know. I said, well, what better spirit could you ask for, man? Yeah, the Spirit of God. Don't fear that. So Jesus said to his people, God the Father, the Spirit of God, your Father, will speak through you. He also called him the Spirit of Christ. He's also referred to as the Spirit of the Son in Galatians. We did a little study in Galatians. Paul said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we've seen that the Holy Spirit's been called the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son. And it goes back to the Spirit of adoption. Now please bear with me. There's a reason we're doing this. Jesus also referred to him as living waters. In John chapter 7 on the Feast of Booths, on the last day of the Feast of Booths, they would gather water from the Pool of Siloam, the priest would, and they would carry it to an altar in buckets, and they would pour the water on the altar, and it would run down the altar and down the steps. It looked like a creek. And they did that because of the promise in Ezekiel. They were praying, God, please pour your Spirit out on us. Please send your Holy Spirit. Now this will make sense. Jesus stood up and said, if any of you are thirsty, come to me and I will give you living waters. The Holy Spirit was called living waters in the Old Testament. Can you imagine how some of the Pharisees thought, what audacity. We're waiting for God to pour the Spirit out, and this man stands up and says, he'll give us the Spirit. Well, he could say that because he's God. Yeah. Oh, man, I wonder if there were some people that didn't kick themselves after that. I think, wow, he was right there. Jesus said, this Spirit will spring up into you as a everlasting water, fresh water, living water. That means he can't be exhausted. But he said this, he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we were going to receive, but he hadn't been given yet because Jesus wasn't glorified. These are attributes of the Spirit, if you haven't figured this out yet. People like to talk about spiritual gifts. We're not talking about spiritual gifts. The gift of the Holy Spirit is from God to his people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's a whole separate issue. We're not going to talk about that. It said, this he said about the Spirit to those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. So Paul said he's the Spirit of adoption. We're marked with him. We're sealed as God's children. Jesus said he is the living water. He's going to produce life in you. Do you know before you came to Christ you were spiritually dead? We just didn't have the good sense to lay down and let the undertaker dress us and put us in the ground. But what happened in Christ we who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been made alive in Christ. Again, you didn't do it. I didn't do it. We can't boast and brag about it. And yet there's an arrogance I see in some in the church today. They think they're a little better than other people. Let me tell you what that is. That's a pharisaical spirit. I'm a little holier than them. I don't associate with those kind of people, lest I become defiled. God had a thing in the prophets where he rebuked his leaders for that. And he said, you say, don't come near me. I'm too holy. God said, you ain't holy. That's my interpretation of the Hebrew. God said, there's nothing holy about you. You're the pot calling the kettle black. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth and the Helper is what he called the Holy Spirit also. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He was predicting the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's on this earth. Do you know that? He's the restraining force, I think Paul talked about in Thessalonians. He said, he who lets will let until he be taken out of the way. You think this world's evil now, wait till God pulls his spirit off, the restraining Holy Spirit. Satan will have full control. Yeah. So Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, I'm going to send him to you. He's, in John 16, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Greg mentioned this morning, he's that direct line of communication between us, the Father, and the Son. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's not going to make stuff up. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's going to wait till I tell him what to tell you. And that's what he'll reveal to you. Are you getting this? This is the edge we have on the world. None to boast. We are in the light. They are in the darkness. It said the things of God are foolishness to them because of the darkness that is in them. But God has transplanted us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have that light. And again, we didn't earn it. We didn't study long enough. We didn't get enough degrees to stand up and go, oh, I finally figured this out. We have the Spirit of God that says this is what the truth is. The world says there's no absolute truth. You ask them, are you sure about that? And they'll say, I'm positive. Well, that's absolute. I've said that to people, and boy, they get mad. I had one guy, well, I guess, yeah, you've made your point. I didn't make it. God made it. Just listen to people sometimes. It's easier sometimes to witness to people than you think it is. And going back to what Jesus said, the Spirit of your Father will speak to you, through you, to these people. But it will not be extra-biblical, unbiblical revelation. And I see a lot of that going on. Oh, the Lord has said to me. And then they say some off-the-wall stupid thing that only the most gullible people would receive. And go, oh. They're not speaking by the Spirit. The Spirit of God will never contradict the Word. Never. If you get a revelation like that, somebody telling you the Spirit said to them, what Paul tell us to do? Weigh it out. What John say? Test it. For many deceiving spirits have gone into the world, and they go in the name of Jesus Christ. They say, this is the Holy Spirit of God speaking through me. Paul said, listen, John said, weigh it out. Paul said, weigh it out. John said, listen, you better pay attention to what they're saying. What do we compare it to? The Word. We have the written Word of God, church. In all these different translations, you have it on DVDs, you know. There's no excuse that we in the church do not study the Word of God other than laziness. We prefer the light of the television to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to be entertained, not instructed. If you are a child of God, I'm getting off track. Sorry, Lord. The Bible says you are His slave. We don't like that word today. In the chains. Another word is servant. A servant's will was always first and foremost to do the will of the master, no matter what their will was. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit that enables you and I to do this. He reveals God's will to us. He's the teacher. He reveals the word. I've been reading the Bible 42 years, and I don't boast. I can read things I've been reading for 42 years, and the light come on. I'll go, oh, I never saw that. That's the Holy Spirit. That, I believe, sometimes it's a need-to-know basis. God says, you couldn't handle this then, but now you can. You're ready, and I can share this with you. You need to know this now. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a teacher of truth. Jesus said when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all the truth. I just read that to you. He said he'll take what's mine and he'll give it to you. He won't speak on his own authority. When people say the Holy Spirit told me and it's not in the Bible, that's not even the Holy Spirit speaking on his authority, because he doesn't dare do that. And people that do that, whose glory are they seeking? Theirs. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. They're seeking their glory, not the glory of God. In that line of thought, he's called the mind of Christ. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That makes sense. The Bible is a spiritually discerned book, and apart from the Spirit of God, you won't discern it. You think you will. You think you'll have it nailed down, but no, you don't, because the Spirit hasn't revealed it to you. Men have. We like what we hear. Paul said, in the last days, many will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They redefine God. I don't like, you know, this strict God. Man, too many rules. Too many thou shalt nots. And I want to. I want to say thou shalt. You know. So if this teacher tells me that I can get around that, yeah, that's the God I serve. You ever heard people say, my Jesus would never send anyone to hell? Then you're worshiping the wrong Jesus. Yeah. That's right. My God won't judge anyone because he told me not to judge. You're not qualified to judge. He is. That's why God said, I'll do the judging. You leave that to me. Okay? But what's this God done? He's placed his Spirit within us. Paul calls him the mind of Christ. I'll finish this quote. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In the preceding part of this chapter, Paul is saying, who knows a person better than the spirit of the person within them? He said, the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. And you know what he knows too? The deep things of you and me. And that's uncomfortable. Nothing's hidden from our God. You and I have pet secret sins. I'm including myself. And there are pet sins. We don't want to let them go. And we're going to hold on to them. This is my sin. You can't have it. And we don't acknowledge that. Or we think, well, we'll go to church and say a little prayer, but we'll hang on to our secret sin. The Holy Spirit goes, no, you don't. You get rid of that. You denounce that. That's called repentance, by the way, church. You repent of that. You get rid of it. It might be unforgiveness. It might be gossip and dissension. It could be some of the bigger sins, the top 10 list that we talk about. I never heard a preacher preach on gluttony. There's why. We don't want to talk about gluttony, because you'll say, well, physician, heal yourself. See what I'm getting at? Do we need the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. Does that mean that we got to run around babbling and trying to do weird things in the name of the Lord? No, it does not. This is a blessing that God has gifted us with because we trust in Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're in a spiritual war, and God knows that we cannot win that war on our own. We will have no victory apart from the Spirit of God. So he's called the mind of Christ. What does that mean? He knows Christ's mind. What's that go back to? Jesus said he'll take things that are mine and show them to you. John said no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who came from the Father's side. One translation, the Greek I read, says he came from the Father's heart. Jesus came to reveal God to us in a way we never knew him. And he promised he would continue to do that. Praise God. Yeah. We get in trouble sometimes when we think in the flesh, by our own, we got God all figured out. And I think the Lord goes, no, you don't have me figured out. Let me reveal myself to you. You know what that's called in the Scriptures? To know God. That's an intimacy. God wants to be intimate with you and I. He knows us intimately. We don't know him. But it's his desire to share that with you. He wants us to know him. And we should, because we call him Father. We should know our Father. And God said, I'm going to show you me through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to show you me through the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to keep revealing the Father to you through the Holy Spirit. I had a guy very arrogantly one time, we were talking about the gift of the Spirit, and he told me, even if it is real, I don't need it. Wow, maybe I ought to fall at your feet and worship you. He just looked at me kind of funny. I said, well, if you don't need the Spirit, you got it all figured out. Are you Jesus? No, I'm not Jesus. Well, then you need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I know I don't have that mouth filter that God gives us. I think he skipped over me when he was handing that out. I don't know. Thank you for your honesty. Jesus, when he was talking to his men, he said he was going to reveal himself to the church. And he was talking about through the Spirit. And one of the men said, how are you going to do that? Now listen to what he says. I'm going to close with this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We who? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not full of the deity of God as Christ is. I'm not saying that at all. Don't take it that way. But we have God living within us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Greg made a comment, you know, oh, is that kind of crowded? No, no. Jesus cast a legion of demons out of a man in the Gadarenes. And in Rome, a legion was 6,000. 6,000 Roman soldiers made a legion. And I don't think it literally meant the guy literally had 6,000 demons. But the demons saying, there's a lot of us here. But you and I have God within us. This is a spiritual gift and a spiritual blessing. And I want to leave you with a thought. I lied. All preachers do when we say in closing, you know it's going to go on a few more minutes. Yeah. Jesus told us in the church that we can ask for the Spirit. Now, this is why I say that. Because I was told, well, you receive all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you're baptized. Then why did Jesus tell me I could ask for him? He said, if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, this is in Luke chapter 11, he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Yes. Now, I can't be like Elisha and say, I want a double portion. It doesn't work that way. But you know what God's saying? When you get in your lowest time, when I get in my lowest time, when we face things we don't understand, we face situations and the devil's got us beat down to the ground, we can call out and say, Father, fill me with your Spirit. He's called the Spirit of wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. When you're dealing with family members that are unsaved and you're at your wit's end and frustrated and you say, I don't know what to do, that's when you call out and say, God, you show me what to do. And sometimes he'll say, just shut up and let me work. They don't need all your opinions. They don't need your theological arguments or your doctrinal dispensations. You let me work. I had a guy in the Church of Christ I went to school with, and after I got saved, I hadn't seen him for years. This other man that I was working with, I'd been sharing with him. And he'd been asking me questions about Jesus. He's, you know, you're a Christian. I said, yeah, well, what does that mean? And, ooh, that's like saying sick him to a dog when somebody asked me that. And I was sharing Christ with him and salvation. And this other kid from the Church of Christ, I'm not trying to pick on them, but he come to me and he goes, I heard you've been talking to him about the Lord. I said, yeah. Well, I told him the gifts of the Holy Spirit was not for us today. I said, you're wrong. Well, I told him only the 12 apostles had it. I said, in the book of Luke, it says Jesus gave it to 70 people. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus gave him to 120 people. And after that, Jesus kept pouring him out. I said, you're wrong. Well, I told him we shouldn't use musical instruments in church. I said, you're not witnessing to him. You are trying to indoctrinate him into the doctrine you grew up with, and that's wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that. I said, look, his name was Wendell. I said, Wendell, why don't you share Jesus? I'll share Jesus, and maybe God will save that man. I can't believe you don't want to share Jesus Christ. You want to share doctrines. God help us, church. We get caught up into that. What a God we serve. Do you know that the Bible says he's prepared good works in advance for you and I to do? You will not be saved by your works, but true salvation will produce works. That sounds contradictory, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Are you busy? Are you busy for the Lord? Are you working for the Lord? Or are you so caught up in your own life and so egocentric that it's all about me? I'll give God the leftovers. We haven't been called for that. Remember Paul said we've been redeemed. Redeemed means we've been bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. But praise God, he doesn't do that and say, well, you're on your own. Just figure it out. Do the best you can and I'll judge whether or not I'm going to let you into heaven by what you can do. He says, no, I'm going to put my spirit in you and then you will be my witnesses. I will give you what I want you to say to people. I will give you the gifts that you need for what I've called you to do. It's our unbelief that stops that, church. I really believe that. Or it's us wanting to glorify ourselves. You know, if you pray and ask God for the Holy Spirit, and James says you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust, the King James, you won't get it. The Holy Spirit goes, I don't want to go there. I don't have time to waste with people like this that want to glorify themselves. He's here to glorify Jesus Christ. You and I are here to glorify Jesus Christ. We do that by living a changed life. That's the strongest testimony we have, church. We're not the people we were. I've had more chances to witness to people because of that. People say, well, I remember you and you was a hell raiser. And, oh, man, what happened to you? Oh, let me tell you what happened to me. Like the woman at Samaria, I met a man that told me everything I ever did. And he changed me. And he saved me. And he wants to save you. Church, that's the message we have for this lost and dying world. Why aren't we sharing it? Why do we sit behind these walls scared to death? We're going to offend somebody. Oh, we'll make them mad. I don't care. Let them get mad. Sometimes when they get mad, they'll start thinking about what you've been saying. Sometimes that's how God gets people's attention. I had a guy once, I was preaching at a church, and he got up and he had his fist balled and glared at me, and I said, Lord, I'll defend myself if he comes forward. Because he looked like he's going to hit me. He left and he come back the next Sunday. I was filling in for the pastor, and he come up to me at the beginning of church, and I thought, oh, here goes. That always happens when you're getting ready to preach, somebody wants to get in your face and say, I don't mean to complain, but I didn't like what you said, and you get all stirred up, and it's like, man, I got to focus on this message. And he come out and he said, I was so mad at you when I went home last week. I got my Bible out and I was going to prove you was wrong. And he said, you was right. Praise God, he repented. No glory to me. The Word. But his anger is what made him search the Word. I'll shut up. I'm done. I'm not going to give any more examples. I just get wired up with this. That's not a good phrase, I guess, but... Yeah, I could talk about this for hours, church. What a God we serve. What a blessing. The spiritual blessings that he's given us in Christ. And he has a purpose and a reason for that. Not so we can sit back and bask in those blessings. He says, now you go to work. That's what the spiritual blessings of Christ are for. You go to work. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm getting hot. This was not to disrespect anyone, but there's so much heresy floating around about the Spirit of God nowadays. I want to look today at what does the Bible say. That is our foundation, church. That is our ground rule. That is what we go by. What does the Bible reveal about the Holy Spirit? And this message wasn't all-inclusive. You say, dear Lord, it was too long, but I didn't share everything with you the Word says about the Spirit. Do a personal study on your own. What God says about the Spirit. And that He thought enough of us, He loved us enough, and He saw our need. He said, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I want you to know me. If you're here, and maybe God's talking to you, and you know, you feel like, more, I need more of your Spirit, don't be afraid to ask. Jesus said He wants to give Him to you. I'm not talking about getting funky and trying to do signs and wonders. An evil generation looks for signs and wonders. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about that intimate relationship that God wants you and I to have with Him is done through the person of Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It's not my merits, it's His.